Yo, what's going on, everyone? Welcome to this week's episode of River City 93. This is your host, as always, Elliot Barnes. Joining me is my good man who's had a good week off. Got to see some soccer in the other part of Virginia. It's Mr. Matt Myers. How are you doing, sir?
Doing good. Life on top is good.
It is.
Top of the league.
Even with a week off, you guys will still be on top. Before we just started, we were looking at the league table, and like this league is all over the place. It's hard to call it because I think there's what, like a 5-team tie for first, and then there's like a 4-team tie for like third. It's all over the place.
Tie in points, tiebreakers, all eyes point towards Richmond.
Right. Yeah. That's the good thing. That is a good thing. So, of course, you know, this podcast, we're going to be talking about Ford Madison and the Henny Derby, that big game coming up. But also, we had another article written up where we talked to – who do we have the article on? I'm just drawing a blank right now. Oh, the Charlotte Independence game. Duh.
You wrote the thing.
Yeah, right? Because it's been so long. It's almost been like a week and a half. Yeah. So, folks, before we get started, we want to let you guys know we have a website up. The link is in the description down below. Click on the link. You can go to the website. We have articles on there. All our podcasts are on there. All the YouTube videos are on there. And we know not everyone is on social media. So if you want the shows to come to your inbox early, sign up there. Support us. This is fan supported media. We need all the help we can get.
Yeah. If you like us, follow the page. If you don't like us, follow us anyway and just ignore it then. That's fine.
Yeah. Just treat it like it's junk mail.
Yeah.
Just be the person there. You know, there's nothing wrong with another piece of junk mail coming in.
We're not picky.
It doesn't hurt anybody.
Yeah. We don't have any shame there.
No, none whatsoever. But I can name a team that does have some shame, and that's probably our next upcoming opponent. Ford Madison, no wins yet, 3 draws, 1 loss. But we'll talk about them later. Let's kind of recap this Charlotte Independence game. We won't talk about it too much, but just real quick, man, what was your first initial thoughts on that game?
We've talked about this a lot over the last couple of years, and I know I've drawn attention to it. But man, are we ever good at the long diagonal ball to the left wing that sets up a goal directly? 2 for 2. Last week, different look for it because we had Baima out there instead of Bolaños. Right. I mean, Baima made it easy for Emmy. He made it easy for Bentley to be able to score there, and thing of beauty. So, teams, keep doing what you're doing. Don't guard that. Don't worry about Neil or Dakota or whoever getting a little bit of space and looking for that long diagonal. Nothing to worry about. No danger there. Let them do it.
I will say this. Yeah, Baima looked really good on that left hand, but you can see the shortcomings in his game. Like, he's not a really pacey player like you have alluded to, or like he's not a player that's going to be like a hound coming back on defense. But if you give him 3, 4, 5 yards of space, he can put a ball anywhere on the field. And he showed that perfectly twice.
Yeah, he'll put it right where he wants. Like, he's a very different option than what we have from most of the other attackers out there. Yeah, if we need to press, he's probably not the guy, in that moment. But if we can be able to find a way to get, him in space, like you just said, he'll put the ball right where he wants to be able to put it. And that's not something you see in League One very often. I mean, let's be real. Whether it's our team, whether it's the other teams in this league, you see a lot of very stray crosses. You see, some missed touches from time to time. You're not seeing that much with him. When you get in tight spots, okay, that's maybe a little different story there. But get him into space, let Emmy make that run, let Olsen make that run, let whoever's playing on the other wing at that moment, whether it's Bentley, Bolduc, Bryant, whomever, make that run. I got my money on Leo to pick him.
Yeah, he can definitely pick him out. Definitely had the 2 assists. I will say this is also kind of hilarious. I think all of Emmy goals this year have been Mitt Hatters. Outside of the first one.
Yeah, first one wasn't, but
the rest of Mitt Hatters, which is hilarious.
Yeah, I can't. I'm still not sure what happened on that Open Cup goal, so I don't know if that was actually a header or if it was just a toe poke, but
I don't think we'll ever know what happened on that one.
You know, don't care. Still counts.
Right. I don't think we'll ever know. But I will say this, man. I think one of the biggest surprises out of that game is definitely Matt Bentley. And just not him scoring, but the fact that there's another option outside of Bolaños, who we know is hurt, Emmy, who's been consistent. There's another option there. And there's also another person that can create outside of Neil. So is that all relying on Neil? Because, you know, in years past, I mean, not years past, but in previous games, teams will be like, all right, put somebody very physical on Emmy, put someone very physical on Neil. Richmond not going to create anything. You might do the long ball to Bolaños, but we can live with that. And now to have, like, Bonema be able to be creative, Bentley able to score, it's showing its dividends and that the work that Darren and Mika put in is coming to fruition.
Yeah, I think it's another, you know, Matt brings a different style of player out there because you think about it, you know, Darren and Mika, they have a good variety of options, you know, for those wing spots. Now you got, you know, Bolaños when he's healthy, he's going to be, you know, the speedster who likes to play really direct. You got Baima, who's, you know, more of, like we were just talking about, you know, being able to pick out the pass. Bentley's, you know, more of a second forward than anything else. Like, yeah, he was playing on the wing the last couple games, but at, you know, especially as Chenier liked to point out, he drifted inside a lot, and that's not a bad thing. You know, I think he's still more naturally a striker than a winger by nature, but he's able to get out there, you know, put in some industry, but be able to find more of the goals that we haven't seen from that position quite as much. When you get Boldic out there, he's Pitbull out there. You know, he's going to, you know, finagle people, you know, to death. You know, he's going to, you know, work hard, leave on empty every single, you know, time. When you get, you know, Brian out there, he's a little bit, you know, different. He's more of a blend between a Boldic and a, you know, Baima style, you know, I think in terms of, you know, skill set. So they have some choice in how they want to set the, you know, team up and, you know, what kind of players might match well together, but also might match well to the opposition in that moment. And I think that can only be a good thing.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be a good thing. And this was a good win for the Kickers. I know we were talking about on Walking 90 about how they asked me the question, do I feel any kind of way about Akira leading the league so far in saves? Like, I think he's on 23. I think the next closest person is 15. And as I told him, like, I'm not really too concerned about it because most of the saves he has have been right to him. You know, I think in the course of a game, he might have five saves, and three of them are straight to him, very soft saves. But he might have one or two where he stands on his head.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, if you want to make like an NFL correlation, I feel like he's a, you know, quarterback who, you know, racks up yards because, you know, he has a lot of little dump off passes and, you know, gets a lot of yak after it because the running back or, you know, the tight end, you know, picks up, you know, 20 on their own.
Right. So here's Tom Brady.
I mean, your words, not mine. You know, here's Tom Brady, USL League One. I think I'm okay with that.
I think I'm fine with that as well.
Right. But one, you know, once or twice a game, you know, he'll, you know, pull out and, you know, drop that 30-yard pass on a dime, you know, to be able to, you know, make it happen. Akira will pull out, you know, a big save or two, you know, each game to either bail the team out or, you know, just steal one from an amazing shot. Right. I'm okay with that. I mean, yeah, if he's getting to the point where he's like averaging, you know, five more saves than anybody else in the league, okay, that might be a little bit more of a, you know, bigger issue problem. But A, early in the year, you know, some of the stats are still a little, you know, wonky, not enough sample size. But we've seen over, you know, the last three or four, you know, 3 years with, you know, Darren, you know, the defense is designed to let the opponent take some low quality shots. Yeah. And the trust is put into Akira, you know, for that.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think a goalkeeper will face the amount of shots that Akira does if Darren didn't have that trust in him. And which, by the way, before we move on, shout outs to Darren and Mika. They got contract extensions, which is huge, which is good to see.
Yeah, continuity. I mean, makes a huge difference. You know, when you guys know what they can expect if they're coming to Richmond. You know, Darren and Mika, I think they're making it very clear what they're looking for in players, what they're, you know, both on the field and off the field. And they can be able to, you know, shape the roster how they see fit. And we know Darren's got a network all over the world, especially in Argentina and, you know, Washington State, apparently, because that's where like all of our players come from nowadays, feels like. But I gotta imagine he's probably got some other contacts, you know, Mika. And I think, you know, just having observed, you know, them at, you know, try out some other, you know, sessions too, I think they complement each other well as well. Like Darren's, I think, a lot more of, you know, kind of the, you know, energetic, you know, motivational kind of character. Not to say he doesn't know the tactics. Obviously, he does that too. Whereas Mika, you know, comes across, I think, a lot more as, you know, the direct, you know, academic style of communication. Mm-hmm. You know, so that I think they can balance each other out well there. And there's going to be somebody, you know, for any kind of player who might be coming in.
Yeah, definitely. Because I remember when Beulah got let go, and we were all kind of thinking like Mika was named the interim. We were like, all right, well, we'll see how this goes. And then Derek got named the head coach. We were like, all right, is Derek just going to bring in a whole new staff? Like, what's going to happen? And to see Mika stay on, and we know how special Mika is as a coach, it's been wonderful. And I really want to say, like, man, since Mika's been here, he's been a huge part of that turnaround of the team, like a huge part of it. So definitely deserve the contract extension, man. It's good to see them on. I didn't even realize like Derek's contract was coming up to the end at the end this year, because it doesn't feel like it's been 3 years.
Yeah. I mean, also you got to figure anyone at this level, you're not signing, but for so long, you know, whether you're, you know, playing staff, coaching staff, anything like that. We know that, you know, if you see even a player with a 2-year contract, that's like, oh shit, that's a long term deal in this league,
right?
So right, it makes intuitive sense, but like you say, don't think about it, you know, right away.
No, you don't think about it at all. But with all that being said, I mean, the Kickers also, I think the most important thing about this victory against Charlotte is two things to take away. Charlotte is not a pushover as teams that have dropped out previously have done. Like, in case us, our first year in the league, we look completely out of depth. NCFC, when they dropped out, they look completely out of depth. And Charlotte doesn't look to be like that. Like, they can score. Defensively, they look a little bit of a mess. But I think also the more important thing is we knocked up a road win, you know.
Right.
We're able to get a crucial road win. And as the conference that kept wanted to tell us, we haven't won there since 2018. But as everyone knows, we haven't been to USL Championship since 2018. So
yeah,
that stat was irrelevant.
They were stretching for you know, some of those talking points in that broadcast.
They really were.
Yeah, so like, think about some context clues here, fellas. Like, how relevant is any of this? Yeah, how many players on our current team knew our team existed in 2018, the last time we played them?
Probably not. Belonius was probably just graduated high school when he was like, I think I can do soccer.
Yeah. I mean, I think maybe a few of them, you know, right? And like, we know Simon knew because he's a local kid. He'd been coming to the games, you know, yeah, you know, for forever. Like, you know, a few of the guys, you know, Akira definitely knew us because we had played against him, you know, before. But a lot of the guys, probably not really.
Probably not. Not at all.
Yeah. Anybody else stand out to you in that Charlotte game, though? Anybody? You know?
For me, let's see. Zaka definitely stood out because he helped stabilize the midfield. Bima, like we talked about, Bentley. I'm hoping the best for Stuart Ritchie because I know he pulled up, and that changed a lot. Well, I will say this. Chris Cole, when he came in, he did a good job of containing what's his name? Santos.
Oh, Santos. I thought you were talking about the other guy who he got sent off.
Oh. Now, I will say this. Stephen Payne did an amazing job of taking him out the game. Stephen Payne did a really good job of taking him out. Because I kind of almost forgot he was in the game until Chris Cole beat him into a red card.
I don't even think it was necessarily baiting. Like, it was a legit foul, and he got a yellow card, you know, for a professional foul. And then, you know, homeboy just decides to, you know, throw a bow at him for no good reason right in front of the ref. It's like,
yeah,
like, what do you think is going to happen with that move right there?
Just a total just lapse of judgment.
Like, it's like you literally just heard the whistle and it was not far from your ear. Do you think she, you know, do you think they're not going to notice that?
It's like, no, I can get away with it. No, no, you can't, son.
I mean, much appreciated. Don't get me wrong.
Right. I think the goal we gave up, I think Nathan Ani got a bad jump to it. I think.
Yeah, I think I'm trying to remember, you know, what had happened, you know, previously. Because I think there was, had been a giveaway on the play that led up to it. Because the play that led up to it was the one where, you know, Jalen, like, you know, dives, you know, and heads the ball away. It, announcer seemed to think that Akira had it covered anyway.
Yeah.
And then they had a really crappy corner that, you know, went, you know, got cleared immediately out of bounds again, and then they scored. But I do remember Washington, you know, kind of thinking like, all right, we got to clean up, you know, some of this distribution out of the back. It's a little loose, little.
Yeah. I think we talked about it. Like, I don't know where Ani be aiming some of these headers at sometimes. Like, I don't know if he just heads it just to head it, or if he heads it with a purpose. And there's a difference in the two. And I think it's the former. Like, I think he's just heading it just to head it. Like, there's no real direction on it.
Yeah, and I think Cole, you know, can be prone to waiting half a second too long sometimes to, you know, clear the ball or, you know, just even play the pass. And you know, we saw that in the Open Cup game a couple times where, you know, he had a, you know, a clearance, you know, deflected, and it caused a little bit of trouble. Yeah, you know, so fixable things, which is the good news. But
Oh yeah, very fixable things. Things that you know, like, you get better at the more games you play. Like, Ani, this is the first time being a starter at a center back position, you know. And don't get me wrong, like, he's shown quality. He's shown he's good at it. I think he just got to know when he's heading, he has to head it with a direction. You know, that every header, of course, can be that way. But I think the more he gets more comfortable with it, he'll get better at it.
Yeah.
Any last things on this game, Matt, before we move on, buddy?
Yeah. So this is going to sound like piling on Ani, but this one's not his fault, but he just happens to be involved. You know, end it all the time. I'm over the long throws already. Like, I know it worked against, you know, Hailstorm, but, you know, just every single time, just, you know, trotting him up there to launch a long throw into the box, I'm over it. It does not seem to have a high percentage win rate there.
I will say that. Like, it doesn't – it's kind of like everyone knows it's going to happen, so teams prepare for it now. If you kind of throw it in the same exact spot so teams know what to expect, you know, it's okay just throwing a little short throwing. I don't know what it is about this team. We do short corners and long throw-ins. It's supposed to be the other way around.
Have we really done any short corners this year? Or is this, like, you don't need to, you know, fall victim to the John Osborne conspiracy theories. Like, that was stuff from, like, 7 years ago by now.
I know, but it's still hilarious. So, yeah, I think that's it. I think the biggest takeaway is just we're able to put together back-to-back wins. And granted, one was in the Cup, one was in the league, but that was something this team struggled with last year against two teams that, you know, I saw some people online talking about kind of worrying about the fact that Charlotte dominated the ball so much. But when you go and look at the heat map, Charlotte was kind of just like, all right, we're going to put all these numbers in the middle. They didn't care about the wings. You know, and I think Richmond's thing was like, all right, that's fine. We're just going to build a wall and make you pass in the back. And that's what a majority of it was for most parts.
Yeah, I get the frustration with it because, you know, we have seen that happen, you know, many times before. We get that early goal and then try to bunker in for 80 minutes and rarely works in that way. But I thought the second half, even before the red card, you know, it was a lot more balanced, you know, in that approach. And again, I don't think this is a team that's going to ever be ball dominant necessarily. But I think, you know, as long as there's reliable outlets and, you know, they can keep, you know, in the, you know, mid 40s on possession, I think that's a winning formula for them.
Yeah. And I also think another thing too is like players like Ethan Bryant coming back are huge because he helps in the midfield of kind of holding that ball, be able to recycle possession instead of Dakota and Zaka, who are truly defensive players, worrying about like their defensive shape. You know,
I mean, you're just coming back. You know, there's going to be some busy weeks coming up. So being able to have reliable depth, and we've talked already about, you know, the options up top. You know, this will start to give us some options in the midfield as well. If you can be able to plug, you know, a Bryant in there, you know, I've liked, you know, Candela, you know, when he's played in the Open Cup games, you know, so far, I think he's been, looked, you know, pretty, you know, reliable. You know, Luke is on his, you know, seems like he's on his way back. So I think there's going to be rotational options where it's not going to be like in past years where it's like hold your breath rotational options, you know, guys that, you know, you actually have some confidence in being able to play.
Yeah, it's good to have some depth that can help out versus just be there for the sake of being there.
Yeah, makes it harder for Mika and make it harder for Darren, but that's why they got a contract extension, because they can handle that out and, you know, handle the, you know, guys who want more minutes and who want to be able, you know, to get more opportunities.
Right. So I guess we should go ahead, move on, and talk about that pink team that we play on Saturday night for the Henny Derby Trophy. Fort Madison. And once again, I don't know what to read about this team, because even though they have three draws, they have three draws, one loss. They haven't looked bad, but they haven't looked great either, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they haven't won yet. So let's put that out there first and foremost. They haven't won yet, because it's fun to point out that they haven't won yet, and now they're in last place. Ha-ha.
So they got the draw with Chattanooga opening the weekend.
Then which another was draw a last second, you know.
Right, you know, last
second. Goal. Yeah, they
Get to draw with Union Omaha.
Mm-hmm.
Which they had to come back in, and we put the last one.
Tucson.
Draw with FC Tucson, you know. So it's like they won one game off of a last second goal. They drew another game off of a last second goal. And
they lost this last game on a dumbass goal they gave up.
Right. And I don't know what to read about them. Like, I'm really like, are they good?
No.
Like,
I feel safe in saying that one. I don't know if they're bad, but I'm pretty sure they're not good.
Like, I favor Richmond in this game, but I'm also like, I need Richmond to be aggressive in this, you know? Like, I need them to kind of put their foot on the pedal and be like, all right.
Have you seen anything different from this year's Madison team from last year, really? I don't really see much
struggling with that. I'm struggling with that. I will say I see a difference in, like, I know where they, God, no, because I haven't watched them like that. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, that's fair, but.
Yeah, no, I haven't. No, I haven't. I haven't really seen a difference.
Well, they mostly play tight games, and
yeah,
they don't come up on the right side of them. Like, they'll draw a ton like they did last year, but they don't get on the right side of the result, you know, very often. And yeah, they can get bogged down in the attack very easily. I'm pretty sure yesterday when they played Fuego, they had zero shots on target the entire game.
Yeah, I think exactly the same.
That's not sustainable. Well, I mean, it'd be nice if it's sustainable, because it's pretty hard to lose to a team when they don't put a shot on target all game. So that'd be cool.
No, I mean, yeah, you're pretty much right. They kind of didn't threaten at all. I mean, okay, let me ask you this. Who do you think starts for this game? Like,
So it's a little bit trickier because we have the Open Cup game midweek. Yeah, and you start to wonder where, you know, is Darren going to put, you know, priority? Is it going to be taking the swing at Charlotte and then, you know, maybe rolling the dice that a rotated team can get the job done against Madison? I can see the logic in that, because, you know, it's a 30-game regular season. You get maybe just the one shot, you know, at, you know, a big game against an MLS team. I got to imagine all the guys want to play in that Charlotte game specifically. At the same time, I think we've seen that Darren's not necessarily a fan of, you know, going like full rotated squad. Like, I think we're still going to see, you know, a good portion of the starters, you know, out there. I'm gonna assume we're going to see the same first team as last week until proven otherwise. And then maybe we'll deal with rotation later in the week, you know, whether it's a little bit against Charlotte or against Omaha in a couple weeks' time. Yeah.
I think the only two big changes you'll see is, I think, Chris Cole, just because I don't know if Stewie's going to be back healthy enough.
Sure.
And Ethan. I think Ethan probably comes in for Dakota. I can see that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that would be the only two, in my opinion. Outside of that, I think everyone that started against Charlotte should start again.
Yeah, I can get down with that potentially. I think, you know, certainly nobody's lost their job.
Yeah, no.
Right. And like with the next three games coming up, I wouldn't be stunned to see 17 different guys get a start at some point over the three games. I just don't know what combination it's going to be.
Yeah.
And yeah, who knows? I mean, I feel like we should be getting, you know, closer to Bolaños maybe being able to be back. Like, I don't – maybe not the beginning of the week, but maybe by Omaha he might be able to be back, because I think, you know, the initial idea was about a month.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a month until training started or until he's, like, really, really back. I'll be optimistic right now and say really, really back.
Right. I for me personally, I'm going to hold off on Bolaños being back to probably that North Carolina game. I'm going to hold off to that.
I mean, that's probably more realistic, but that's not fun. So
it's not fun. So the stretch we got coming up is kind of, I think this might be our hardest stretch of the season, where you got Forward, Charlotte, and Union Omaha all at home. You know, how do you – like, what do you expect out of these three games for Darren and the boys?
It's tough to, you know, decide, because it's not like it's three league games. It's two league games and a cup game. And like, if we're being honest with ourselves, the team's not going to win the Open Cup, right? I mean, yeah, you dream about it. You have all these, you know, visions of it. But that would be a massive ask, you know, for them to, you know, go all the way. In this term, that would be five more wins, probably all against MLS teams. Be amazing, but for being realistic, there's a reason it hasn't happened in over 20 years for a non-MLS team at this point. You know, but at the same time, potentially a big money home game, you know, against, you know, Charlotte can really, you know, galvanize, you know, the fan base. So I don't think we're necessarily going to punt, you know, that game, but. Where do you put, you know, more of the emphasis? Do you put it more on the league games, you know, where you get two, you know, a win each of the next two Saturdays? You're pretty well cemented. Now, cemented might be a bit much, but you're really, you know, putting a strong statement out to the rest of the league that, hey, you know, this is our spot up top. Come at us if you want it.
Yeah, right. I will say that. I think Ford and Madison, Union Omaha, he'll go out against, because those are statement games. You know, a rivalry and the team that won the USL Championship and a very dangerous Union Omaha team, which, funny by enough, Jay Mills got a red card.
Saw that.
Yeah. I mean, granted, this is why this league does need Hawkeye technology. I think that's the only thing I want.
Yeah.
But yeah, funny enough, he got a red card.
So Elliot's reference there is, you know, Omaha lost to Charlotte yesterday. And if you go back and watch, you know, the clip, it's not clear if the winning goal in the 94th minute for Charlotte went in or not. Like, obviously, every Omaha, you know, fan says no chance it was a goal. I'm not sure either way, to be totally honest. Like, I've watched it probably 20 times, and
I'm not either.
You can't really tell either way, I don't think, you know, to be fair, because, you know, basically it's a header. The keeper, you know, is able to get a, you know, hand on it, but he might have been all the way in the goal when that happens, because when he, you know, falls backwards, you know, he's all the way in the goal. At that point, the ball moves forward and hits the post, but I don't know if the whole ball was over the whole line. But yeah, J. Mims, you know, lost it. Their next, you know, league game isn't they have a week off, so yeah, he won't be coming to Richmond. Oh well.
Yeah. Well, no. They got Hailstorm before us.
That's the Open Cup game.
Oh, that is right. So yeah. You're absolutely correct. Wow. Yeah, he won't be there against Richmond. So that really,
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how much that's going to make a difference in the moment. I'm sure he will have instructions, you know, for the coach, the assistant coach the day of. And it's not like he won't be there in training for the next 2 weeks anyway. But every little bit can help.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. So I won't be on next week to talk about Charlotte FC, but we can talk about it here. I think we were talking about, like, rotational-wise. I agree with you. I don't think really much is going to change with this team. I would like to see Bentley play striker, and I would like –
You're sending Emmy for the biggest – potentially the biggest game of the year? So that's where it gets tricky, right?
Yeah, it does. Oh, man. Because it's like part of me wants to play Emmy, but then also part of me is like, I don't want to pull Emmy until late. I will say this. I think Darren goes like 60-40 rotation. Like okay. More rotational guys. And I think around in the 70th minute, if it's still tied, I think that's when he starts bringing in the bigger guys.
Interesting. Okay.
But if it's like 70th minute and they're up 2-0, I think he just goes, puts in the rest of the rotation of guys and be like, it just rests up for Union Omaha.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, I don't think that's the way he's going to play it. I think if anything,
probably not.
If we're down
early. He probably just rolled his eyes when he heard me say that.
All right, I think if he's going to pull guys early, it's because it's not going well. And all right, well, have a good second half off, Emmy and, Payne and, whoever else some of our more indispensable pieces are.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Yeah. I mean, hopefully it doesn't come to that, and it's going to be more of a matter of, all right, how do we save this lead going into the end of the game?
Right. That's what I hope. I think another point of contention was a lot of fans had where, why were the tickets $40? I think that just simply comes out because the kickers know it's a payday for them.
Okay. Also, $20 is not expensive for a ticket. I went to the Loudoun United versus El Paso game yesterday. That is not a marquee game by any means whatsoever. It was in Loudoun at Segra Field. That thing's a little pop-up stadium. It sucks. It's crap compared to City Stadium. And like, I'm not going to pretend City Stadium is some state-of-the-art kind of place, right? I love City Stadium. I don't want it to change at all, but it's not new, state-of-the-art. The cheapest ticket there was $25, and they charge $8 parking. Right?
That sucks.
Calm yourself down if you're, whining and crying about a $20 ticket. Where else are you going to be able to go for 2 hours of entertainment for $20 these days? Like, you go to a decent movie theater, you're paying about that much for a movie ticket now. You go to any other kind of concert or show, you're paying, if you're paying only $20, it's probably a really run down, your club or something. You're paying it. So get over yourself. Pay the money, support the team, be there.
And the way how I look at it like this is like, they know MLS team is coming in, so they're like, all right, we can make a profit. When NC Fusion came in and the crowd reflected it, like, that's what they charged $5 because they're like,
yeah,
we're trying to get people to come out, so we're gonna make them cheaper. I would be pissed if they charged me $20, for the first round.
Right. Like, if we're using the concert analogy, like, you're not going to charge the same for, I don't know who's hot right now. I'm way out of touch. You're not going to charge the same for like a Taylor Swift concert as you would for, some local garage band. You'd be an absolute moron to do that.
Right. Absolutely.
Same concept here.
Oh, man. This is going to be – that's hilarious. Taylor Swift to MLS. All right. I think that's everything, man. It's kind of like a short podcast, but I think we covered everything. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Elliot has family, business the next week or so. So we're working on getting some other voices in here to cover for him in the meantime.
Taking a well-deserved vacation.
Yes, indeed. Poorly timed vacation, but well-deserved.
Yeah, poorly timed, but well-deserved. I can't help it. That's what my wife's birthday is.
Just because it's her birthday doesn't mean you have to give her birthday present has to take place on her birthday.
This is also true, but I don't want to have that argument. I'm just going to let that rock.
Anyway, so, yeah, we're working on that. Got a series of pieces that might coincide with podcasts coming up shortly. Keep your eye out for that. We think it's going to be pretty exciting for everybody to be able to take a look at the great 30 years of the club thus far. Hopefully get some extra insight into all the greatness that's taken place.
Right. So be on the lookout for that. Once again, you can follow us on social medias at River City 93. That's Twitter, that's Instagram, that's YouTube. I'll say it one more time. Go to the description down below. I'll give you 5 seconds. You should now click on the link, check out our website. We're working hard on it. It's ever-changing. We're adding content to it. If you want to write for us, because me and Matt don't always want to write, we want to hear from you guys. We want to hear your perspective as well. If you guys are interested about writing about the team or writing about a player, feel free to hit us up, and we'll try our best to connect you with that. But with that being said, that's Matt. This is Elliot. We'll holler at you guys later.